Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10. Good to see all of you here tonight. Feels good in the house of the Lord. Amen. Matthew 25 and verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Amen. Very powerful scripture, and I felt this earlier in the week, and I just want to deliver what I feel in my heart, what I feel like the Lord gave me. I just want to just talk about the fact that Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. Amen. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
If you really believe it, then we should live the way we believe. Amen. He's coming. He could come tonight.
Yes.
He could come this week. We may not make it to Christmas. Amen. And I hope that before the rapture, I can see my grandson one more time. So pray that the Lord just holds off till after Christmas. All right? Some of you are saying amen. I appreciate that. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for truth tonight. We ask you to anoint your word, this simple but profound word of God. I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I believe that the coming of the Lord is a message that should resonate in the hearts of each and every one of us. Amen. It is a message that we need to hear on a regular basis.
Amen.
Amen. It's something that must stir our hearts every time we hear it. The message to get ready to meet the Lord. And that's what we're here for tonight. That's why we come to the house of God. And there are other reasons as well. We come for fellowship. We gather together to reach out to the lost. Amen. But we also come together to comfort one another that the Lord is coming very soon, and we need to be ready. Amen. Mom and Dad, you need to be ready.
Amen.
Young person, you need to be ready. We need to be ready, amen, because he's going to come at a time that we're not ready. Two are going to be in the field, one is going to be taken, and the other is going to be left. And so somewhere in the busy hubbub of the day, the Lord is going to split the eastern horizon, and we're going to leave this old filthy world. Praise God, I hope it's soon. Much is said about the coming of the Lord, and I want to look at it today, and I want to look at it from Scripture to show you that this is not something that is new, but it is something that has been around for a long, long time. Go with me to Hebrews 11 and verse 5. Brother Reed, when you get there, if you would read this for me tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen. That's what we need to strive for tonight, is a life that pleases God. And really, when we look in Scripture, this is the very first place in the Word of God that there was a catching away of the righteous. And there was something about this man I've often thought about, Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch was not, for God took him. And just wonder some things about this man. And if I could just digress a little bit here tonight, maybe you've got some different ideas. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of direction in this area, so I suppose we could just kind of have some conjecture here. The Bible does say that Enoch walked with God and that he had a testimony that he pleased God. And so there's some things that we know about that. We know that he did the will of God. If God asked him to do something, then he would do it. Amen. And he walked with God. So Enoch had a prayer life. Amen. He didn't have any word of God. There was no Old Testament scriptures in this particular time. And he was the seventh from Adam. So Enoch was way back there in the beginning. But there was something about it. He walked with God. Every day, I think, he spent some time in prayer. And when the Lord spoke to him, he heard the voice of God. And he was willing to listen, but not only listen, God listened to him as well. And when we understand that about prayer, prayer is not just talking and coming up with cute phrases to say to God, amen, but prayer is just like talking to your best friend. It's just like talking to your brother in the church, or your sister in the church. There is a give and a take. There is a thing called communication. Amen. If somebody in the room does all of the talking, after a while, you're going to get tired of being around them. You want to hear another voice. Communication is not one person doing all of the talking, but communication is when one person talks and then the other responds to what has been said. I believe this morning or this evening that God is a God that wants to communicate with his people. I've heard stories of the Lord communicating with people that weren't saved. And in their heart and in their voice, they prayed and they said, God, if you're real, so on and so forth. My pastor tells the story of a lady that was lost without God. She had a gun and she had written a suicide note and she was ready to take her life when the Lord moved upon a saint of God and they went to the house and there it was and she ministered to her and came to the church. It was in that particular service that my pastor, during a move of God in the service, which was what we were very used to, he said, there's someone here that has been considering suicide, and I want you to know God loves you, and you don't have to go down that road. He's got a will and a purpose for your life. To me, that's communication right there. To me, that's a sinner calling out to God and God responding in kind. Amen. And if the Lord will speak to a sinner and will hear the voice of a sinner and the cry of a sinner, how much more will the Lord hear the cry of his people? Amen. Oh, praise God. And that's the kind of man I believe that Enoch was, just looking at the scriptures from a surface standpoint. The Bible says that he pleased God, and so in order to please God, we have to have faith, the scripture says. So he was a man of faith. Whatever the Lord said, he believed, and he was willing to go and step out and do the will of God. Amen. Amen. We've got to be the same way. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to be the exact same way. And when the Lord speaks, we need to hear and to answer. Praise God. He pleased God. He had a testimony. And I wonder how he knew, how the writer of Hebrews knew that he had a testimony. We have testimony services sometimes, very rarely, because they can kind of get out of hand. We ask for testimonies. Anybody got a testimony? And I wonder if Enoch was here tonight, and he was one of our people, and you knew him, and you'd been around him some, And somebody said, does anybody have a testimony? And Enoch would lift his hand. And he would stand and begin to talk about the Lord. And he had a testimony. But the scripture says that he had a testimony that he pleased God. I wonder tonight if Enoch was here and we said, anybody want to testify? And somebody stood up and they said, I want you to know I walk with God and I please God. Wonder what would go through our heart and through our mind. Would we think that this person was bragging, or were they trying to be super spiritual? Probably in a lot of cases, that's what it would be. Amen. But Enoch had a testimony, and the testimony was sure. Amen. In those days, they didn't have scripture, as I've already said. And so their relationship was a one-on-one relationship. I believe it was like a relationship that God had with Moses, where God spoke evidently, and he could understand and hear his voice. I think it was very, very similar to Adam, as the Lord came every day and spoke to Adam, and Adam spoke to him. And there was that close relationship that they had one to another. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And so think about this. The seventh from Adam. Adam begat somebody, and somebody begat somebody. And seven generations down the road of generations, and his name was called Enoch, and the Bible says that he was a prophet because he prophesied. And what did he prophesy? He prophesied about the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. There weren't 10,000s of those people on the earth at that time. The population of the earth was very small. It wasn't anything close to what we see today. But he prophesied of the coming of the Lord. Amen. He prophesied of the coming of God to bring vengeance upon this earth, to bring judgment upon this earth. But in order for him to come with 10,000s of his saints, there would have to be a catching up of all of the saints so that we could come back down with him. It only makes common sense. Amen. I see here some things in the life of Enoch. I also see that it was in a moment that the Lord came and took him. The Bible says, and Enoch was not because God took him. Maybe somebody came and knocked on his door looking to have a conversation with Enoch or to talk about some situation. And the wife looked around and everybody looked around and he was gone. He never came back. The Bible says that God took him. Isn't that exciting? Amen. One moment he's on terra firma earth, and the next moment he is caught up into paradise. Praise God. There's not a better way to leave this world than that. Amen. I hope I'm alive when it happens. And if I'm not, it's not going to make much difference. Amen. But it would be great to be walking along the road somewhere and all of a sudden you get caught up and you're lifted up above the ground. I think it'd be a little bit scary. Amen. It would be higher than 51 feet, Hunter. Amen. I can't get up in those lifts. Brother Reed goes way up in those lifts, and I look at those things and I say, no way, Jose. Amen. I'm not going to get in there. But somehow or another, when the Lord comes, he's going to catch us away into the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. There's not going to be any fear of heights. How many has a fear of heights tonight? See, there's a number of us. I'm with you and you're with me here. Amen. I can't imagine somebody going up on a skyscraper, working on those skyscrapers and doing whatever it is that they do up there. You know what? We need to pay them a good wage, because I'm not going to be one of them that helps. Amen. I'll just tell them what to do from the ground. Amen. But in a moment, he was caught up. And I would guess that his catching up was something exciting. And I just have a few questions in my heart and in my mind. Did the Lord appear to him and say, "Come on, Enoch, let's go"? And as they began to walk together, they were just caught up, and maybe somebody saw him caught up, and they could say, "The Lord caught him up, and he's gone." And so there was that possibility. Was he walking along and taking one step after another? And after one step was taken, all of a sudden he looked around and he was in a completely different place. Amen. I think maybe that's the way it was, but there's no way that I can prove it. Scripture doesn't give us a very clear view of how it happened. But I think that Enoch, and there's another one, Elijah, I'll talk about him for a moment tonight, that were caught up and was kind of a first fruit, if you please, not completely, but somebody who was an example of something that was to come in the future. Praise God. And prophesied of it and said the Lord was going to come back down. Well, in order to come back down, he's got to go up. And so there is a scriptural, what would you call it? A scriptural story of a rapture. Amen. And 1 minute we're going to be here, and the next minute we're going to be there. Praise God. How many wants to go there? I want to go there. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Praise God. That was quite the guy, Elijah. He had many miracles in his life, and his assistant, Elisha, was following him. And somehow or another in the life of Elijah, the Lord had spoken to him, and the Lord said, "Today is the day." Wouldn't that be great if we woke up and the Lord said, "Today is the day. Get ready. I'm gonna call you home." And that's exactly the way it was with Elijah. We don't see that in any other place in Scripture, but as they were going along, he told Elisha, he said, "Stay here in this particular city. I'm going over here." And Elisha said, "As my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to hang on to your coattail, because I want to be ready to see you leave this place. I want to know what it's going to be like to be raptured out of this world." And he would go to another city, and the same thing would be said. And another city, and the same thing was said. And all of a sudden, they got to the river, and there was a chariot of fire. Praise God. I just can't imagine what that would look like. Horses that were on fire, and a chariot that was on fire. I don't know who was driving the chariot, if it was empty, or if there was an angel or two in there. But I'll tell you what, if you just meditate on that just a little bit, what that probably looked like, it wasn't your average everyday chariot ride. Amen. But here comes the horses, and they're whinnying really loud, and there's the rumble of their feet as they're coming down out of heaven. And Elijah throws his garment out of the chariot, and it lands, and Elisha gets a hold of it. You know the story. But chariots of fire, a chariot of fire, and horses of fire. How many horses were there? How many horses does it take to be raptured out of this place? Maybe there was two. Maybe there was a dozen horses. I know one thing, it wasn't Dancer and Prancer and Common and Blixen and whoever else, Rudolph and whatever. Amen. It wasn't a foreshadowing of Santa Claus. Let's just get that straight. Amen. It wasn't a foreshadowing of Santa Claus, but it was a foreshadowing of what the Lord was going to do on this earth at one particular time. It's not going to happen over a course of time, but it is going to happen at one particular time that the church is going to be caught up. The dead in Christ are going to be caught up, and we which are alive are going to be caught up out of this world, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. We've got a blessed hope tonight. We've got something to give us comfort. Amen. And we can comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Jesus is coming. And we also have a what I would call the first fruits, because the Bible tells us that he is the first fruits of them that slept, and he was resurrected out of the grave. But not only was there a resurrection, there was what we would call an ascension, where he ascended into heaven, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. Everybody said, taken up. He was our first fruit. He was an example, or the example, much more than Enoch and much more than Elijah. He was the first fruit. He was the first example of what is going to happen to you and I when we are watching, waiting, and ready for the coming of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, and I believe that he's coming very, very soon. Amen. And it is going to happen. It's going to be a corporate gathering, meaning that it's not going to be a resurrection here, a resurrection there. No, it's not going to be that way, but there is going to be a resurrection of the dead at one time, and at the same time there will be a resurrection or a catching away of those of us who are alive and remain. Praise God. Somebody ought to say praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. He is coming. And it's going to be a corporate gathering, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 through verse 18. And this validates what we're talking about. And I say this, and I use these scriptures today, because there is a doctrine that is floating around that says there's not going to be one rapture, there's going to be many raptures, but that's not biblical tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And so the dead are going to rise together. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I looked at one of the words in the scriptures, and it is the word together. Amen. Somebody said together.
Together.
That word together in the original actually means together with, in union with, in company or mixture with. And so those from Africa are going to go at the same time that those from Augusta are going to go. And those from any other place in the world that you can think of, Russia or China, all the nations of the world are going to have the gospel preached to them. And when the rapture takes place, it is going to be a global rapture where the dead in Christ go with those that are not dead. Amen. And we're going to be caught up together. We're not going to be caught up individually, but we're going to be caught up together, and we're going to meet one another in the clouds. What a glorious day that's going to be. What a glorious day. I'm just here tonight to give you what I feel like the Lord gave me, the fact that Jesus is coming. Amen. There's not going to be millions of raptures. Amen. There's going to be one rapture of the dead and the living at one time, and we are going to be with the Lord. Praise God. We've got a blessed, blessed hope. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Let's look at a few more scriptures here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, just so that you understand this parable and this truth that Jesus is giving us, the 10 virgins represent the church. Amen. They have not been defiled with this world, but they are virgins, and they took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. Amen. If there's anything that we need to strive to be, that is to be wise. Praise the Lord. There's so many today that are playing church. So many today that are playing with God, playing with their eternal soul. Amen. It is foolish to do that, but it is wise to look at your everyday and say, I need to pray today. I need to talk to the Lord today. I need to have some kind of interaction with my God, because today could be the very day. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. That's 50-50 right there. Does that mean, I'm not saying it does, but does that mean that half the church is going to go and be ready and half the church is not? I don't know. I shudder to think that it would be that way, but that's what he said. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Amen. You can tell if somebody's got some wisdom in this fact or in this one particular way. And that would be that they're not living for today. They're living for today, but they're planning for the future.
That's right. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. A wise person will not just live their life for this day. They will live for this day, but they're also putting aside and laying in store for another time, another day, another year. Because I want to tell you, we basically have a young church. I know some of you think you're old, but you're not. Amen. I'm telling you what. It passes very, very quickly.
Amen.
I can say that tonight from experience, and I'm not old yet, but I'm getting closer every day. And guess what? You're getting closer every day.
Right.
Amen. These young men on the front row think they're going to live forever, and there's plenty of time to do anything you want to do. Amen. It's the way of youth. Oh, I've got tomorrow. Let's play today. Some of you are not that way, but that's usually the way it is with young people. Amen. And that's not a put down. That's the way I was when I was young. I didn't think about the future too much. But there comes a day. There is a day that a light switch is turned on. And all of a sudden you realize, if I don't get busy, I'm not going to have anything when the time of my age comes. Amen. Scripture talks about that, and it says to serve the Lord and to live for God while you are young, before the evil days come. And you can't work for God. And it goes on and it describes aging, and it says those that look out the windows are dim. Amen. I can't see as good as I could see. Those that are looking out the windows. The Bible says that the sound of the grinding is low, or the sound of the workers is low. You begin to lose your hearing. Amen. Can't hear as good as you used to. And it goes on and says that the grinders cease because they are few. Amen. Maybe some of you have got some false grinders here tonight. We're not going to get into that. Amen. But your molars and all of that, they wear down, and before you know it, you don't have anything left. Amen. That's not the time to say, I'm going to go out and win a soul to God. That's not the time to say, I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. That's not the time to do that. You should be doing that back here somewhere. Amen. So that when you get to the place where you need a reserve to reach back and get a hold of, it's there. Now, I know it's quiet right now, and maybe you're not considering these things, but I would like to ask you to consider these things. Because it is a real part of life. What are you going to do when you get old? How are you going to plan for that? What have you planned for it at this point in time? Nobody likes reality. Very few of us like reality. I'm pretty good with my checkbook, but I don't really look at it that often. I learned, though, that I need to look at it regularly, because there was a point in my life where I didn't bother at all. I just wrote a check, and it was bounced, and I had a $30 payment, and I was just living for the day. But thank God, got a hold of me. Amen. And I'm not living my life like that anymore. I'm laying up for the future. Praise God. And you need to do the same as well. All right, I know that was pretty weak, but it's the truth anyway. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they had lamps and they had vessels. Amen. They had lamps that would be the recipient of the oil, and they had vessels. So when you're carrying a lamp and you're carrying a vessel, it's a little bit harder, because you've got the weight of both of those things. You can't switch between hands to carry your lamp. The foolish said, you know what? It's just too much weight to carry. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I'm just going to leave it at home, and I'm just going to go along with the crowd. What this really speaks of is the oil is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We don't need to wait for the next prayer meeting or the next revival, amen, where we pray through and we get a hold of God one more time, amen. It's the will of God that we take it with us wherever we go. When we leave here tonight, we need to take the Word of God with us. We need to take the Holy Ghost with us, amen. Because Jesus is coming. That's what this is really all about. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Amen. The very moment, the very time. I think we're all learning a little bit more about that with all of this quarantine thing. They say, okay, you're positive. You've got this plague. And they say 10 to 12 days, or maybe even 14. I'll tell you what, day number one seems like the longest day of the whole thing. Amen. And day number two seems long, and so on and so forth. And then the day comes. It's like an alarm clock. It's like when you set your phone at a particular moment. That moment is going to come. And it will be there. And when it comes, there's no reversing. Amen. There's no turning around. But it's going to be right there. Amen. Jesus is coming tonight, church. Amen. He is coming in all of His glory, and He's coming for those that are waiting and watching and ready, that have their vessels full. Amen. And just like the foolish would be when they said, the bridegroom is coming, the door is open, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The truth of it is, they didn't have anything. All they had was their status of being a virgin. Amen. They said, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't go here, we don't listen to that, and we're walking as holy as we can in this life. Amen. But there's more to it, folks, than the way you dress. There's more, come on somebody, help me tonight. There's more to it, amen, than having long hair, ladies. Amen. There's more to it than having short hair, men, and having a good haircut, praise God. If you have a hair to cut, praise God. Whatever the case might be here tonight, amen. There's more to it than that. There is something called a relationship, amen, where we talk with God, we walk with God, and He walks with us. Praise God. But the wise answered, saying, no. Now that sounds selfish. I thought at one point that was selfishness. And they were all out for their self, and they weren't worried about anybody else. But Jesus said it this way. He said, the poor you have with you always. Amen. Because poverty in some places, not in every place, poverty is a mentality. Poverty is because of just the day. I'm just thinking about today. I'm not worried about the future. I know the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow, but there are other scriptures that talk about laying up for your future, for your retirement, and those kinds of things. We need to live like the Lord is going to come today, but we need to plan like He may not be here for the next 50 years. Well, praise the Lord. That's a balanced way of looking at things, I believe. And they said, no, we're not going to lift you up and carry you. I'm carrying the vessel. I'm carrying the lamp. And if I put you on my back and try to carry you, then we're both going to fall. Amen. Peter said, save yourself. Amen. You've got to get a hold of God for yourself. It's not going to be your mom and dad carrying you your whole life. Come on, somebody. But you got to get a hold of God for yourself. Your wife can't do all the praying for you and all the consecration and dedication for you. Amen. It is a personal thing. It is a personal relationship that we have with the Lord. Anybody have a vessel? That's why we come to church regular, because through the course of the week, we burn up a lot of oil for the light. Amen. And we may not be in sin, and probably not, but we're burning the oil, and we've got to come and be renewed in the Holy Ghost so that when we leave, we can fill that vessel up again in case the Lord comes between services. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. How many comes feeling empty and leaves feeling full? I have. Amen. And that's the will of God. And while they went to buy, they said, okay, we're going to go get in the prayer room, and we're going to pray through, and we're going to get ready to go. But when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I'm not going to get into that part of it too much tonight, but there is going to be a day when the door will be shut. Some people believe that after the rapture, there's going to be another opportunity. Well, when the door was shut, the door was shut. It sounds very, very close to Noah's day when the Bible says the Lord shut the door on the ark. He didn't wait until there were some that were screaming and crying. And he said, okay, if you'll hurry, I'll let you in. And he opened up the door and let them in and then shut the door. That's not the way it was. There was 120 years of working on that ship. Amen. Lots of opportunities, but the world was filled with foolish people who were living for the moment and living for the day. Folks, I want you to know when the door is shut, the door will not be opened again.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Praise God. And this parable is as clear as can be. The wise went together all at the same time, and the door was shut. It wasn't open for each one individually, but it was open in a moment. And the Bible says it will be in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. I've got a few more scriptures, so hang on tonight. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's not going to be a trumpet tomorrow, a trumpet tonight, a trumpet tomorrow afternoon. There's going to be one trumpet that is sounded, amen, and we are going to go and be with him. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible, or this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The only way we're going to get out of this world is through the rapture.
Amen. Right.
Praise God. You're not going to get to pray to Mary and make it around the back door.
Right.
You're not going to be able to pray to anybody else and make it. There's only one that's going to be able to save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you've got to have the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. This is not optional. Coming to church is not going to cancel out this scripture. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 and verse 11. For if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So guess who's getting to go in the rapture? People that are full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there's another scripture that talks about being buried with him. If we are buried with him, we will also rise with him. And how are we buried with him? We are buried with him by baptism. Amen. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Listen to me tonight. We got to get a hold of this. Amen. The only folks that are going in the rapture are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for this New Testament salvation. There's only one way. There's only one door. He didn't say the doors were shut. He said the door. Who is the door? Jesus said, I am the door. Praise God. There's only one way to make it, and that's to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? I'm looking forward to going to be with him. Titus 3 and verse 5. Just a few more scriptures here. Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us By the washing of regeneration, that's when you were born again initially, and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. Folks, we don't have the opportunity tonight. I suppose we have the opportunity, but we don't want to take it to just come to church and just look the part and act the part and maybe feel God every now and then. We've got to come to church and ready to have church. Well, praise God. Ready to worship, ready to press in until we have a move of God, because Jesus is coming. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And folks, we are there. Right? This scripture down through verse 5 is the same almost as reading the news every day.
Amen.
This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that where we live today? And those folks are not going in the rapture when it's all about me. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Listen to this. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent, that simply means without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, here's our day today, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, we're going to go to church. We're going to worship the Lord in our own way. We're just going to do spiritual things, religious things. But I want you to know, my friend, Jesus isn't coming for that kind of a bride.
Amen.
He's coming for a church that's made herself ready. Let's stand together tonight. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is coming. It should be the theme. Oh, I'll tell you, when we first come to God, I know when I first came to God, I had a dream, and all around me, there were fires burning. It was a chaotic situation. Fires burning everywhere I looked. I came out of my house, and I looked all around. And there were fires burning, and there was destruction and all of that. And instead of being afraid in my dream, I remember starting to jump up and down with joy. And I began to shout out, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I was so excited about the prospect of the Lord coming. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing after a while? That message becomes dim, and we don't consider it on a daily basis by what we do and what we say and how we treat other people.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, friend, Jesus is coming. Can we just pray together right now? Somebody lift your voice with me. Come on, lift your voice with me. Let's ask for God's help tonight. Lord, you see those that are cold in their heart tonight. Lord, you see those that are not doing what they should be doing. Lord, you see the foolish and the wise in the same building. Help us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord, that we would strive to be the wise, that we would strive to be that which you have called us to be, to do your will in sickness and in health, in the good times and in the bad times. Praise God. We're going to do your will. We want to be ready when you come. Praise God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight.